It is the week that changed the world. Later generations would give it the name of Holy Week and would assign certain designations to the days like Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday. But for those who were living through it, they knew none of that. In these last days of Jesus, some were disappointed. Some were angry, some were confused, some were smugly satisfied with how it all ended. So important is this one week that three of the gospel writers dedicate an entire third of their account of Jesus' life to this week. The fourth gospel writer dedicates the entire second half of his book to just this one week in Jesus' life. Hundreds of years, hundreds of prophecies have led up to this moment. 33 years of his life and 3 years of public ministry have led him on the cusp of entering into Jerusalem. Everything that Jesus does, he does intentionally, purposefully. Nothing happens by accident. To some, that was confusing. For many of his followers and his disciples, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem in such a triumphant and public spectacle way was folly. It was foolhardy for him to do such a thing. Why would Jesus enter into Jerusalem the Sunday before Passover in such a dramatic way, calling so much attention to themselves? And why did they think it so foolish? Why was it folly in their minds? Because Jesus is a wanted man. Jesus is a wanted man. The plot against Jesus is not new. Sometimes we get the idea that we finally get to Holy Week, we finally get to the last week of his life, and all of a sudden the religious leaders, they get pushed just a little bit too far. He stirred things a little bit too much. So they quick huddle together and decide they're going to arrest Jesus, prosecute him, and put him to death. But that's not the case. This has been building for quite some time. It's true, Jesus stirred the pot. He stirred the pot a lot. If you take a look at Caiaphas, the high priest, you may not think much of him as a religious leader, but he's pretty politically savvy. And as he looks at Jesus and all the people responding to them, he rightfully gets nervous. Now, he doesn't want to be under Roman rule, but if Jesus riles up the people much more, then they're going to get more attention from Rome, and Rome could clamp down even more than they are now, and he wanted no part of that. So he's got his eye on Jesus, and he's willing to take care of the problem if he needs to. You got the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders. When they listen to Jesus teach, and all of a sudden, the accolades of all the people, and some even hinting that maybe he is the Messiah, others hinting that maybe he's more than just a man, and Jesus doesn't refute those claims, that's blasphemy in their eyes. How could Jesus do such a thing? Not to mention the fact that every time that there's a public debate between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he always bests them. He always comes out on top. I suppose that he called them a brood of vipers might enter into it. Perhaps that he called them the destroyers of widows' homes, maybe. But Jesus has been stirring the pot for a while. You see, this is 3 years in the making. It's 3 years in the making. If you go through the Gospels, you'll discover that on 7 different occasions they were plotting to arrest Jesus. Not just this last week, but throughout his 3 years, 7 different occasions, there's plots to have Jesus arrested. There's 2 attempts at it, but it wasn't his time, so he eluded them. There's actually 3 assassination attempts on Jesus, but it wasn't his time, so he eluded them. But 3 different times, they pick up stones to stone Jesus for blasphemy, to put him to death. This has been building for 3 years. There's no surprises here. Listen to what's recorded for us in the scriptures about the chief priest. It says, now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, he should let them know so that they might arrest him. Did you notice the past tense? They had given orders. It isn't now, right now, we're giving orders to arrest Jesus. No, they issued a warrant for his arrest in the past. According to common law at that time, it was customary that before a person came to trial, they had to post an arrest warrant for that person for 4 months in advance around the neighboring towns around Jerusalem and in Jerusalem. So for months, Jesus has had an arrest warrant out for him. 4 months, it has been declared in the cities around Jerusalem and in Jerusalem. And here comes Jesus into Jerusalem. Jesus is walking into the lion's den. He's walking into their seat of power where they have everything on their side. Is it any wonder the disciples didn't want to go? If you look back that shortly before they decide to go and visit Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who at that time is dead, when Jesus finally says, let's go and visit them, the disciples say, you don't really want to go there, do you? And Jesus has made up his mind. No, we're going to see Mary. They're going to Bethany, right outside of Jerusalem. So Thomas sums it up this way. Scripture says, Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. They understood what was going to happen. Jesus is a wanted man. He's got a price on his head. He's got a warrant out for his arrest. He says, if we go, we're going to die with him. There was talk around Jerusalem on this Sunday before the Passover, even wondering, will Jesus show up at all because of this arrest warrant out for him? Let's take a look in the Gospel of John. It says this, they were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all? Common sense would say this year Jesus would skip coming to the Passover feast in Jerusalem. Everyone understood Jesus is a wanted man. The people knew he was a wanted man. His disciples knew that he was a wanted man. And most importantly, Jesus knew that he was a wanted man. Everyone knew the authorities were waiting for their moment, their opportunity to arrest him. Jesus is a wanted man. But Jesus is a king. Jesus is the King of Kings. And now is his time to declare the fact that he is indeed a king. And if he is the king, then he will enter into his capital as a king should. As kings of the past have entered into their capital, Jesus will come in as a king. It was not missed by the people of Jesus' time. The Old Testament references were there. Now, Mark doesn't call it out. The other gospel writers do. But the crowd saw the references back to the Old Testament. For instance, some probably picked up on the fact that Jesus coming in on a colt was very, very reminiscent of when Solomon came into the capital city and was anointed to be king. If we go back to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 1, it says Nathan and also the chief priest, they had Solomon ride on King David's mule. And it says, all the people said, long live King Solomon, some would recall. And they would see the similarity as Jesus comes in on a colt. Certainly all of them would recognize the prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah said this, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And here comes Jesus in that very way entering into the city. Jesus is declaring to all that he is a king, and they don't miss it. The people pick up on it, and they declare him as such. It was typical on the pilgrimage as you came into Jerusalem. The people would sing Psalm 111 to Psalm 118. So they picked up two verses in Psalm 118 that they designate to Jesus. Listen to what they say according to Mark. The crowd shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Or the next verse, he says, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." They see Jesus as a king. Now, true enough, they see him as a political king. They have high hopes that he will lead the people against Rome, high hopes that they'll restore the kingdom to the back to the days of David and Solomon. Jesus isn't that kind of king, because Jesus is the King of Kings, and he is coming into Jerusalem as a king, which means Jesus is a dead man. He has signed his death warrant as he comes into Jerusalem as a king. He knew exactly what was going on, exactly what he was declaring and what it meant. He gave advance warning to the disciples. On any number of occasions, he tried to tell them, "This is what's going to happen when I enter into Jerusalem. This is how the week is going to go," sometimes in subtle ways, otherwise in direct ways, describing in detail what was going to happen. One such description is in Luke chapter 18. It says this, "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished, for he'll be delivered over to the Gentiles. He'll be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day, he will rise.'" Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. Now, the disciples didn't get it. They didn't have a clue what he was talking about until afterwards. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew what was going to happen when he came in to Jerusalem. But he came anyways. Paul Meyer, in his book, In the Fullness of Time, puts it rather succinctly when he says this. He's talking about Jesus. "His irrevocable step, taken deliberately and with every consideration of the consequences, for otherwise he might simply have slipped unceremoniously into the city along with thousands of other Passover pilgrims." Certainly he would have. Jerusalem has tripled in size at least. There's thousands of visitors there. It would have been easy for him to blend in, easy for him to just slip into the city, quietly celebrate the Passover, and slip out. But he knew exactly what he was doing. And with purpose and intent, he sat on that colt and entered the city as a king, knowing that it meant that he was a dead man, because Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. No one else understood it. The people saw him as a long-awaited king who would lead them to victory. The disciples saw him as a great teacher and perhaps something more. But Jesus and Jesus alone knew. He knew that he was the sacrificial lamb. Jesus understood that he was the sacrificial lamb. For hundreds of years and thousands of animals later had all pointed to this one sacrifice, the sacrifice for all time. Justice had to be served. Mankind was disobedient to God. Mankind was sinful, and justice had to be served. Punishment had to be doled out. Blood had to be spilt. And so the sinless Son of God becomes sin. The spotless Lamb of God is sacrificed on the cross. The punishment and justice that we deserve, he takes upon himself. There on the cross is the greatest display of love and justice at the same time. As God, Jesus knew it had to be done. As a human being, it shook him to his core. Just listen to his words in the Garden of Gethsemane. But all of time has led up to this moment. He is entering into his last days. He enters into those last days knowing full well how it's going to end. Knowing full well everything that's going to happen that week. There will be no surprises for Jesus. He knows exactly what's going to happen to him. But he enters Jerusalem willingly, intentionally, and purposefully. And this is the one thing that I want you to know. The one thing I want you to take out of here today. He entered for you. He entered Jerusalem for you. Knowing all the consequences, knowing what would happen, he willingly, intentionally did it for you. This is the week that will change the world. This is the week that changes you. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Father in heaven, we can't imagine the sacrifice that you made for us and the agony that you must have gone through as you watched your son enter into Jerusalem. We thank and praise you for your love and grace. Jesus, we are humbled that you would willingly, intentionally, purposefully enter in as a king and enter in as the Lamb of God that would take away all of our sins. We pray to you, Holy Spirit, that you would dwell in our hearts, that this week especially, we would focus in on all that Jesus has done for us, and that as we see him through these last days, that we would know that he did this for me. In his name, amen. Please be seated.